Proverbs chapter 16, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So the sense of these words, the preparations of the heart of man, depends upon that next clause. So that the meaning of the whole is that a man can neither think nor speak without God. He cannot think or speak without God. And the new word, or that might be a new word to some of you, that we looked at this morning, is called marshaling. Marshaling, and it merely means the arranging or ordering our thoughts in a proper order. So we might entitle this message, Marshaling and Ordering Our Thoughts. John Gill stated that the orderings or marshalings of the heart, of the thoughts of the heart, which are generally irregular and confused, the arranging of them in order, being able to fit them on a particular subject, whether they are things of the world or things of God. They must come from God. So it is not just the things that are said, but it is the things that are thought as well. It is the entire preparation, which is what our verse says, the preparations of the heart in man. And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. So it is the preparation, and then it is the speaking. So it is both, hand in hand. The preparations, even for the preaching of the word, the praying, the preaching, the teaching, it is all from the Lord. It is God, and it is God that gives you a willing mind. That not only gives you a willing mind, but gives you ability to carry out what it is that you want to do. So while we may be seeking to marshal or order our thoughts and to think things out and to lay them out in some pertinent manner, we might even be able to do that. But then how to express it? How to get it out? How for what's in here? First of all, what's in here in the heart, and then in the head, and then how to get it out through the mouth. How to say what you want to say. Not always that easy. But it all comes from the Lord. If the Lord laid it upon your heart, if the Lord put it in your mind, it is the same Lord that will put it in your mouth. It is the same thing with the hearing. And how timely reading Psalm 143 along with this passage. It is the Lord that causes us to hear. So while the marshaling of our thoughts would pertain at this particular level directly to me, the marshaling of my hearing would apply directly to you. The Lord needs to open your hearing that you would hear the Word of God and that you would be taught the Word of God. That God Himself would teach you out of His Word. He has to open your understanding, and apart from opening your understanding, you could sit there till tomorrow morning, and you would know no more than you knew when you first came in, unless the Lord opened your understanding. Let's turn back to that passage in Exodus chapter 4. Exodus Exodus chapter 4, 10. God is giving Moses a charge. And that charge is to go in unto Pharaoh and to speak unto Pharaoh. Moses' complaint, verse 10. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Moses is really, at the bottom of all of this, Moses is really giving up an excuse before God. And telling him that he's not the one. He's not the spokesman. Lord, I can do a lot of things, but I can't speak. It's just not in me to do so. I'm not eloquent. My brother, how about my brother Aaron? He can speak. A much better choice, Lord. It is as though we're saying, Lord, you've made a mistake. You've made a mistake. You picked the wrong one. I'm not the eloquent one. It's not me that can speak. You want someone that can speak. You need my brother. The Lord says to him, Moses, who is it that made man's mouth? Didn't I make your mouth? Cannot I that made your mouth also put the words in your mouth to speak? And we looked at the danger of, in the judging of men, to judge them merely by their ability to speak. Because so often in the Scriptures we will read of how the Lord uses the person who you just would not think to use. It wouldn't be your choice. It wouldn't be my choice. But it's the Lord's choice. And it's the individual which appears most unlikely for the task. And yet the Lord is always glorified and glorifies Himself in that. In 2 Corinthians 10, we read about Paul, the Apostle Paul. For his letters, say they, are weighty and powerful. But his bodily presence is weak, and his speech contemptible. This is the Apostle Paul. He says, now let's talk about his letters. He can write. This man can write. Because his letters are weighty, they're powerful. But the man himself, look at him. His bodily presence is nothing. His bodily presence isn't weighty and powerful. It's weak. And his speech, nothing. Contemptible. And yet, who did God use more before the Lord Jesus coming than Moses? Or who did He use after His death more than the Apostle Paul? And two unlikely men. Moses before His coming. The Apostle Paul after His coming. Matthew Henry says, write this down. A great deal of wisdom and true worth is concealed by a slow tongue. God is pleased sometimes to make choice of those as His messengers who have least of the advantages of the art of nature, that His grace in them may appear the more glorious. Christ's disciples, they weren't orators, they weren't spokesmen and great speakers, until the Spirit made them so. Now, while we're here on this, there's another lesson here that we need to learn from this passage. That God resents backwardness to serve Him. Go back to Exodus chapter 10. Or Exodus chapter 4, rather. Look at verse 14. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron, the Levite, thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. But the anger, God was not pleased with Moses' excuse. God is not pleased with our excuses either. And is there any shortage of them? Do we have any shortages of excuses to serve the Lord? We could make a list there so long. And we will couch them in a way that looks so pleasing to us. But the Lord sees right through all of that. Just as He did with Moses. Our nature is that we know better than God. Just as Moses, at this point, thought that he knew better than God. You see, Moses knew that his brother Aaron was a much better speaker than himself. And he thought, Lord, you must know this. You must know this, Lord, that Aaron is better than me. But God is gracious. And that he deals with this weakness that is springing up in Moses. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, as I have said, who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or the deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Moses knew that God made man. But he needed to be reminded that God made his mouth as well. Have not I the Lord? If you and I have an eye to God as our Creator, this would help us over a great deal of the difficulties that lie in the way of our duty, which we face on a daily basis. If we only could see this so clearly. When it's no longer Moses, but now it's us, and we say, I can't speak. It's me, Lord. I can't speak. This person over here is much better gifted at that than I. But when our eye is upon the Lord and we say, is not the Lord the one that made the mouth? Wait a minute, what am I saying? God made my mouth. Can He not put the words in my mouth to speak? When we see things clearly like that, it's going to get us over these difficulties that lie in the way of our duty. So we're a lot like Moses. We will constantly focus on the difficulty instead of the duty. We focus on the difficulty rather than the duty. Psalm 124, 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Is that not where our help is? In the Lord? God, who is our Creator, has given us power and the faculty of speaking. It is from Him who is the fountain of gifts, and not only gifts, but graces. And it is from Him that comes the facility of speaking, or speaking well. But in the case of Paul, it would appear that his speaking was not well. And yet it is God's word that is being given out. Luke 21:15. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. That does not necessarily mean that you are going to be the most eloquent person that ever was. What it does mean is that the Lord is that has given you a mouth and that has given you the ability to speak and that puts wisdom into your mind and into your heart. It is the same God that will give you the words to speak and unloose the cords of your tongue. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 4. I think I have a wrong reference. Oh, that the Lord would give us grace poured into our lips. Psalm 45, verse 2. Psalm 45, verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore, God hath blessed thee forever. Oh, that grace would be poured into your lips and my lips. Back to our verse in Exodus. Exodus chapter 4. Who is it? But God that makes the dumb and the deaf and the blind. First of all of the perfections of our faculties are His work. He makes the seeing. He made the eye. So is it any different with the one who made the mouth? Does He also not make the speaking? If He who made the eye makes the seeing, doesn't He who made the mouth make the speaking? It is He also that opens our understanding, which is the eye of the mind. So we need to pray for understanding and for utterance. for understanding, that we would understand the Word of God, and for utterance, that we would be able to give it out. Secondly, here, all the imperfections are from God as well, because He does make the dumb and the deaf and the blind. The Lord has done it, but in perfect wisdom and righteousness, and for His own glory. John 9, John chapter 9, verse 1. And Jesus passed by, and as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. Pharaoh and the Egyptians were made deaf and blind spiritually, but God knew how to manage them and how to get Himself honor upon them. Now back to our passage in Proverbs chapter 16. The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Now let's look at this from a slightly different point of view. And we'll start with a question. Who is the first mover in the work of conversion? Can a man prepare his own heart for the grace of God? The answer comes in our verse. The preparations of the heart in man are from the Lord. Psalm 10, 17. Psalm 10, 17. Lord, Thou hast heard the desire of the humble. Thou wilt prepare their heart. Thou wilt cause their ear to hear. Here again, we see the hearing. It is the Lord. And it is the Lord that prepares your heart. And it is the Lord that prepares your ear as well as your mouth and your eye. It is God that removes the stony heart out of our flesh. Ezekiel 36:26. Ezekiel 36:26. And 27. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Do we do it of ourselves? No, we don't. It is the Lord that removes the stony heart. It is the Lord that puts a heart of flesh beating in our chest. And it is the Lord that causes you to walk in His statutes. It is God that opens the heart. Acts 16, 14. Acts 16, 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Could Lydia have attended the things that were spoken of Paul in and of herself? No. God had to open her heart to do so. Jeremiah 31:33. Jeremiah 31:33. But this shall be but this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. The bottom line here is that the work always begins with God. It is not that we come and are taught. We first learn and then we come. John 6:45. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. So, what shall we do then? Shall we just slothfully sit around and wait for the Lord to work? Far from it. We must work, but at the same time, remember that dependence is upon God. God doesn't work outside of us, but in us. Ours is the duty, and God's is the strength to perform it. Charles Bridges says, His commands do not imply our power to obey, but our dependence upon Him for the grace of obedience. His commandments do not imply our power to obey, but our dependence upon Him for the grace of obedience. The work, as it is a duty, is ours. But the performance, it is God's. He gives what He requires, and His promises are the foundation of our performances. Here's what we need to get. Our works are not the cause, but the effect of His grace. And never could come out of us until God had first put them in us. Our works are the effects of what God has done in us. Secondly, the fruit also, as well as the root. So you have the tree, you have the root which goes down deep, and you have the fruit on the tree. So the fruit as well as the root. The answer of the tongue is no less than the preparation of the heart. So it all goes hand in hand. The preparation of the heart, let's just make this very simple. The preparation of the preaching of the word. You have the preparation of the heart in preparatory to the giving out of the word. It is God that works in the heart, and it is God that works in the mouth to give it out. It is all of God, and apart from God, none of it can happen. Numbers 22:18. This would be another message in and of itself right here. But we'll limit ourselves to just verse 18. And Balaam answered, we have Balak, first of all, who is trying to coerce Balaam to come and to deal with his enemies. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful statement? Doesn't that sound like someone that is just absolutely filled with the Spirit? Balak, no matter what you gave me, if you gave me a house full of gold, do you know what? I can't go beyond what God would tell me to do. I can't do any more, and I can't do any less. What he said sounded good on the outside and on the surface, but his heart was not right with God. He spoke one thing, but he wished for another. When a Christian's thoughts are marshaled in proper order, does not he depend upon the Lord for utterance? Many times, as this is not what Balaam would have wanted to say, but it is what he said, and it appears on the outside to be one thing, while it's something else on the inside. Charles Bridges again says, when we have the fluency of the tongue without the preparation of the heart, when prayer is without special business, when we read the precious promises and carry not a word to plead before the throne. Mr. Bridges says this man's deed, this man's has nothing but dead formality, and that it is not from the Lord. It is an abomination in His sight. So while some would pray or would ask for fluency, to be able to speak and to be able to be some great orator, forgetting about the preparation of the heart, it all has to go hand in hand. The habit of dependence, and this habit of dependence must continue to the end. We can no more prepare ourselves. You can no more prepare yourself after grace has been received than before it. 2 Corinthians 3:5. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. What about Hebrews 12:2? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He who is the author must also be the finisher of our faith. In Revelation 1:8, he is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Our happiness and prosperity is in the humbling acknowledgement of praise. 1 Corinthians 15:10. but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was in me. By the grace of God, I am what I am. Dependency or dependence is not the excuse for slothfulness, but the spring of active energy. So when we think of dependence, being dependent upon God, it is, as Bridges says, the spring of energy, not slothfulness. You may say, God hasn't given me grace. How can I come to Him? Did you ever desire something? Did you ever ask for grace? If not, how can you complain that you have never received it? When our helplessness is really felt, it brings conviction. And then grace is ready to be given. Matthew 7:7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. I said at the beginning this morning that these are things that we know to be true. We know them. We believe them. But many times we don't believe them in a practical way. We don't believe them just knowing it in reality. And I can say that this has been such a blessing, this passage in Proverbs 16:1, the preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. No matter what it is from the Lord. We want to understand, we want to have our understanding open. It is from the Lord. Psalm 143. We want to hear the Word of God and have our ears opened. It's from the Lord. We want to then, after we've heard it and after we understand it, to be able to speak and to be able to give it out. It's also from the Lord. All of the preparations, regardless what they are, is from the Lord. Even the preparation of the heart. And the answer of the tongue is also from the Lord. It's not of you and it's not of me. It's from the Lord. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this, the clearness of this message. And I pray, Lord, that it would be clear to those that have heard it. I pray, Lord, that understanding would be given. And that we would see that all of our actions, all the things that we would do, all the things that we would say, and first of all the things that we would think, that we might have and be able to marshal our thoughts, to be able to order them aright and put them in the proper order that would be most beneficial to our hearers. And that you would then open our mouths, that we would be able to speak as we ought to speak, that utterance might be given unto us. Not eloquence, but utterance. We pray, Lord, that you would open our lips. And we confess, Lord, that many times when we give out your word, we give it out with a sense of nervousness. We can only thank you, Lord, that you override that and that you can use that for your glory and for your honor. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's turn to Psalm 118, 10 through 11. Is that where we're going to pick up, Rod? Okay. So we're going to pick up at verse 10 and verse 11 on page 260. And shall we stand, please?